At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, that's good. That's good. Power's on. Internet's working. Podcast player's working. Your phone's working. That is a good thing. How did it go for you? Did your team win? Did you get what you wanted? Did your team lose? Did your team get blown out? Did part of your team win? Part of your team lose? Are you moving to Canada? Are you headed out to become an expat somewhere else, pursue some other version of the American dream somewhere else? I had one of the most surreal experiences 8 years ago. It was actually the first podcast, I think it was the first podcast we ever recorded in 2016, the day after the election, when Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in the presidential election. My friend Centauri and I recorded our first podcast episode. It's called the Figure It Out podcast. And it was fine. It was a decent show. But what was so crazy, what was so surreal, was we recorded it at this co-working place. And there was a young lady she was in her 20s, probably her mid to early 20s. And she was literally like curled up like on the ground next to her desk with a blanket around her. And it was clear she was just so distressed and she had been crying. And I thought it was a gag. I thought she was, you know, playing a joke, but she was literally like beside herself because Hillary Clinton had lost to Donald Trump. I just couldn't believe it. And that was really the first time that I had seen firsthand this phenomenon that has gripped society, that has gripped our culture, that we are taking politics so freaking personally. I remember for the first, 40 years of my life, call it the first 20, because I didn't really pay attention to politics when I was a kid. But I don't need to talk about how the discourse around elections have changed. Just that they have. But I remember that. It was so surreal. So maybe that's you this morning. And if that's you this morning, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that you're having this profound impact and experience. That being said, I don't think it's healthy. So I think that we should revisit it. But I wanted to talk about, because I don't know who won. I'm recording this days before the actual election. So I don't know what happened. No idea. But there is this thing called locus of control, and it just speaks to if you feel like you have control over the circumstances of your life. And there's two different kinds. There's your internal locus of control. So I feel like I'm in charge of the thing of my life because I control and focus on controlling the things that I have control over. Okay. I think that that's a healthy thing to do. External locus of control means that there are forces that are conspiring against you or what you believe to be of value and important that are operating against your interests, going directly against you or trying to harm you, whatever. And that is what that young lady 8 years ago was experiencing then. And I don't know what she's feeling today. I just don't know. But if you are focused on whether or not you feel like you're in control by external circumstances, you're setting yourself up for failure and mania. It will drive you crazy. In fact, that's what the definition of stress is and anxiety is worrying about and ruminating on things you have no control over. You're literally howling at the moon You're doing something, there's not a darn thing that you can do about it. It's having this profound impact on your well-being to the point of during your work, you are in the fetal position crying, wrapped up in a blanket. Wild. This is a grown-up person. So, does that do anything for you? Have I changed your perception and perspective on the world of politics in a couple of short minutes? Good for me. Good job, me. No, still not convinced? All right. Well, then do something about it. What are you frustrated with? What about what has transpired do you not like? And if it's that you don't like President Harris or you don't like President Trump, I don't know that that's viable. I think if in fact you're going to be so worked up about whatever you're worked up about, what have you done about it? What have you done about it? Let's say that you're worried about, you know, not enough people voting or voter registration or voter security, just the election integrity. Well, then get involved with it. You don't know how? Well, what have you tried to do? What have you tried to research and been unable to affect or do anything about? I don't think that there's ever been a time in my life that somebody has bothered me to the point of I want to do something about it. And then I tried to look into how to do something about it and I was unable to. You're just not trying hard enough. If that's you, you say, there's just nothing I can do about that. I don't think that that's true. If that's what you want, then that's fine. And maybe you just want to be mad. Maybe you want to feel like the deck is stacked against you. Maybe you are so in love with your victimhood or you're so in love with your problem that you're not interested in moving past it. Maybe that's going to be what defines you for the next 4 years. Okay, if that's what you want, well then let it rip, buddy. But if you're interested in coming to terms, or rather, what is the right way to describe this? Come to a place where you feel like you have an internal locus of control and you've done everything that is within your power and influence, and then you let the chips fall where they may, well, then I think in that case, you've done everything that you can. So I advocate that you advocate, educate, and advocate for whatever approach that you believe to be valid or best. But if you're not going to, I would just ask that you stop complaining. You stop bitching about it and doing nothing about it. I'm sick of hearing about it. So as the saying goes, shit or get off the pot. And to that end, head on this gentleman named Patrick Hardy within the last couple of months here on the show. He is known as Disaster Patrick. And so he is a disaster preparedness expert. And it was interesting timing because he was booked to be a guest on the show long before the hurricane happened. But it was just days after that the podcast aired. And so it was really interesting timing. I'd say good timing, but that is probably in poor taste, or just not very thoughtful. But the timing was good. Let's leave it at that. The big takeaway was that nobody's coming to save you. If you're in a disaster and you're waiting for the government to come and save you, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. If in your life, you're waiting for Kamala or Donald to come and save you, you are in trouble. It's not going to happen. It is incumbent on you to figure out how to gain as much control as you can. It's incumbent on you to understand what needs to get done. It's incumbent on you to understand what is most important, what is of highest value, and to focus your resources on those things. And again, you could tell me to F off, F myself. You're going to keep doing what you want to do. But I think that we find ourselves in this pickle. I talked the other day about how we're number one currently. We are the fattest we've ever been. We're the brokest we've ever been. And this is individually. And as a country, our debt is just exploding and skyrocketing. So all bad things. But we need... each of us individually needs to make those decisions. We need to decide what standard that we want to live by, live to, and then hold ourselves to that standard and start living by that standard. Start valuing strength, not because you're going to beat anybody up, just so that you're capable. when you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Stay healthy, stay strong, get strong, be prepared. And then you're able to handle things. And another thing that, we found ourselves as a country just totally polarized. And we're so focused on racism, and we're so focused on bigotry and in-group, out-group stuff. I guess that's it. My friend Matt told me that years and years ago. It's like it all comes down to in-group, out-group. It's like if you're in the in-group, you're with us, and if you're in the out-group, you are the enemy. And that dynamic right there, I think we is just plainly being experienced by us as a country right now. Just classic in-group, out-group. It's Ukraine. It's racism. It's everything. It's the trans stuff. It's policing. It's migrants. It's everything. Every issue. It's one side and then the other side. And we need to somehow.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Put the genie back in the bottle to reopen Pandora's box and stuff everything back in and just get back to where we were 10, 15 years ago. We need more civility. Right now, we are at each other's throats. We are just at a fever pitch. We're stressed out. That people are even talking about civil war in the country is preposterous. So if you find yourself demonizing the other side, if you find yourself demonizing the other, stop. Because stopping it stops with you. Just like starting something, getting stronger, holding yourself to a standard, that starts with you. Being an awful person and lumping another human being who is way more like you than they're different into some group, like the Dems or the alt-right, whatever. It's all so stupid. So here we are on election, the day after the election. And maybe we don't even know who won. But odds are, the winner, our new president, didn't win the popular vote. Probably didn't win the popular vote, or vice versa, whatever. Maybe they won the Electoral College. They won the election, obviously. You'd think. Maybe they did win the popular vote also. Maybe the House has now gone one direction. Maybe the Senate is another direction. I don't know. But we need to start giving civility and operating with a little bit of grace. Because again, your neighbor who's got the Trump flag or the Harris Waltz flag, they're way more like you than they are not like you. Especially if they're your neighbor. They live in the same place as you do. Their kids maybe even go to the same school as you do. You probably like similar foods and movies and entertainment. And for the most part, I bet that you value most of the same things. Just a couple of differences here or there. So it is incumbent upon us to work on that, to strip away party affiliations, because wouldn't that be nice if we just got rid of the Republican and Democrat and just had two people running? That'd be weird, huh? I haven't really thought this all the way through, but just strip away party affiliation. What don't you like about the candidate? What do you like about the candidate? What are you most opposed to? What issues matter most to you? what's the most important thing, and then look for candidates who most echo, who echo those most closely, represent or embody those things that are most near and dear to your heart. And not what other people tell you is the most important thing. So at this point, hopefully we all know that it's all agenda driven. Everything that we're hearing, certainly in political advertisements, it's 99% BS, but from any news source that you get, it's going to be colored by some agenda or some perspective, and odds are it's going to trace back to money in some form or fashion. So all we can do is try and make a judgment on, okay, this candidate A or candidate B, like South Park always says, is giant douche more like me or is turd sandwich more like me? So there's that. Now, all that being said, I'd like to make another plea. I'd like to give some advice, or probably most appropriately, I'd like to howl at the moon myself a little bit. As I believe that we are focused on stuff that just doesn't matter. I think that we're focused and so wrapped up, we've twisted ourselves so tightly, just so tightly wound about things that are not important issues. You talk about above the line issues are important, below the line issues are just not as important. We've wound ourselves up so tight around stuff that isn't important at all. In the grand scheme of things, biggest issues that we're concerned with are below the line issues. And I'm going to make my case here. You might think I'm crazy. You might think that I'm absolutely right. There's truth somewhere in the middle. And obviously you're not going to take or believe everything that I say, or not everything I say is going to resonate, but maybe it's one or two things, maybe five or six, maybe you get the idea. I think that I know that the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. We need priorities. We need to know what our priorities are, and then we need to treat our top priorities as though they are our top priorities. And because we are in the weeds, if you've ever worked in a restaurant, ever waited tables before, you are familiar or been a bartender, you know what it means to be in the weeds. You just, all of a sudden, there's too much stuff to do. You are feeling overwhelmed. You feel like things are out of control. And they are. You're sort of figuratively drowning. That's kind of what we're doing. And another way to look at this is you can't see the forest through the trees. So you're just right in the middle of it. There's a tree right in front of you. You can't see anything just beyond that. So we need to take a big step back and change our aperture, expand our aperture a little bit so we can see the entire field. We could see the entire forest. We could see our entire lives and existence. What makes the United States of America so great? What is it? What is it that makes our country so great? Maybe that's even going to be triggering because just because I think that there are a handful of things. There's, you and I could go and have a wonderful conversation about the many things that make the United States of America so great, because it is. That safety is a really, really, really important thing. We need to have a safe environment where you and I can go about our lives, where our children can go about their lives, where our parents can go about their lives. We don't have to worry about their safety. Like, predictability is a really important thing, and that's due to safety. Because we do have, or had, a pretty high level of safety, within reason, I know bad things happen, it allows us to operate in a more predictable manner and fashion. I know that if I'm getting on the highway, I'm going down the road, that people are going to fulfill and honor the social contract and within reason drive their vehicle the proper way. We're going to stand in line. We're going to wait our turn. We're going to, you know, haul ride the subway or enjoy public transportation together. We're going to go to a movie theater and watch the movie and be quiet so everybody can enjoy it and orderly leave. All these things. It's predictability. If I call the police, they're going to show up. If I go to a hospital, I'm going to get care. If I need to go to a government agency for something, I'm going to get service. And then from there, that gives us the opportunity to pursue happiness, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Remember, I will have the opportunity to start a business, to raise a family, to practice whatever religion I want, the ability to express myself, whatever way I see fit. I can eat what I want. I can go where I want. I can do whatever I want. Because this is still a free country. And because of that, it's easy to take things for granted. It's easy to forget about those things that make our place, the United States of America, so great. And when we forget that, and we decide to elevate lesser priorities above higher priorities, shit gets fucked up. And here we are. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. Take for granted, wow, what we have here is really great. I can do whatever I want. Nope, let's screw all this up. Let's start fighting over stuff that isn't even real. Let's get at our throats over nonsense. Let's elevate nonsense priorities over real priorities. We'll see how that goes. It's not going well. Here we are. When there are places within the United States of America that you cannot drink the water, we failed. When there are places that your kids can't walk to school because of threats of violence, it's not safe, then we failed. When there are places that you can't operate a business because of theft, we've failed. When there are places where people are without food, electricity, our other basic needs because of accidents or disasters, East Palestine, Ohio, Maui, now the East Coast, we failed. When our kids can't read or do math at grade level or anywhere close to it, if there's places like that, which there are, then we failed. I could go on and on and on. But all this, to me, is evidence that we've lost the signal. We've decided to focus on below-the-line items, also known as stuff that just doesn't matter. And we've decided that it's a good idea to let things that don't matter at all.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Tear us apart. It's a failure. So it's no surprise that we find ourselves where we are, literally having conversations about having a civil war. Or what? Nonsense issues, below-the-line issues. If this stuff's really important to you, okay. But don't forget what got us here. Don't forget the table stakes. Don't forget what must be present in order for all of this to operate and happen. So once we lose that foundation, it doesn't matter. We need to wake up to the reality that we all want the same stuff. You know, whole life, liberty, pursuit of happiness trope. We're all pretty much same at our core. Yeah, we've got different ancillary interests. But I think and believe that we're way more united than we are different. We're way more alike than we are different. So in service of, again, thoroughly making my case as to the importance of honoring what has made our country a wonderful place, the best country that's ever existed on the face of the earth. If you disagree with that, then I might as well just stop the show. But if you believe that, and you have hope for the future, you'd like for our country to get back to, and it's, I guess that's to a degree triggering language as well. I'm interested in having all those things no longer be true. I want to be able to not read about how people in Flint, Michigan can't drink the water. I want to read about how kids in Chicago can read and can do math. I want to read about how There's not people who went through a disaster still struggling because we prioritize people in other countries over the lives of people in our own country. I don't want to read about businesses pulling out of major cities. I don't want to learn about how such a number of vast, huge number of small businesses failed during the pandemic and they're out of business. I don't want to read about that stuff anymore. So how do we get back to that? And I think that we need to focus again on those fundamentals. So here's my case. I'm not making this up. I researched this. So I think that it's going to come down to being a sovereign country again. Let's just go really back to the basics, foundationally. And a country's sovereignty is generally defined by its ability to govern itself independently without external influence, interference, locus of control, internal versus external. Although that's going to take different forms depending on whatever, several key elements are widely accepted. We have to have a defined territory. That means a sovereign state must have clearly defined borders within which it exercises control. The extent of this territory is internationally recognized, although there can be disputes over the border. We have to have a permanent population. Country must have a permanent population, meaning people who live there long-term and are citizens or subjects of that state. So you have to have that. You have to have citizens. We have to have a government. We must have a functioning government that's capable of creating and enforcing laws, providing public services, and maintaining order. The government represents the state, both domestically and internationally. Because I believe in internal locus of control, I'm an independent kind of a guy. More libertarian than I am probably anything else, but even then, I'm right there. I'm right in the middle. I want the same stuff everybody else wants. But I believe that the government needs to create and enforce laws, provide public service, and maintain order. But we're not doing that. Our government's bigger than it's ever been. It's the largest entity in the history of humanity. And it's not doing those things. So that's a mistake. To be sovereign, a country must be able to engage in diplomacy, treaties, and trade with other nations. Okay. Independence, the government must be independent, meaning it can make decisions without external control or coercion. Sovereign nations are not subject to the authority of another state. Well, that's up for debate. Recognition by other countries. Okay. Makes sense. So those things reflect the international law concept of sovereignty. While a country might claim sovereignty, it still may face disputes if others challenge its independence or recognition. So that makes sense. All right. So then I wanted to research what conditions must be present in order for a country to really thrive, to really do well. So let's talk about, I think, one of the most important things, which is stable and effective government, rule of law. So I already talked about this, but if we're trying to thrive, the government must enforce laws fairly and transparently, protecting our rights, ensuring justice, and maintaining public order. I think that that's the primary responsibility of the government. Enforce laws fairly and transparently, protecting citizens' rights, ensuring justice, and maintaining public order. Doesn't that sound good? Can we just get back to that? We need political stability, regular and peaceful transitions of power. Absence of widespread corruption and functional political institutions are essential. Yeah, agreed. We need this very much. We need to feel like our elections are secure. And right now we don't. So could be right now, as you're listening to this, that the election is still up in the air and it's a disaster. I hope it's not. I hope whoever won, the other side conceded and we can all, come together and move forward. The next thing is we need good governance. We need competent leadership and efficient management of our resources to enable the delivery of public services such as healthcare, education, and infrastructure. And right now, that's not what we have. We have more distrust in government than we have trust. I think we have a lot of people who are feeling like government is not operating in the best interest of the citizens. So the next thing was we have to have a strong economy. We have to enjoy economic growth. In a growing economy with diverse industries that provides jobs, reduces poverty, raises the standard of living, we need innovation, we need technological development. I think that we have plenty of technological development and a lot of growth, and I think that we're doing okay with that. We need sustainable development. Economy must balance growth with environmental sustainability. I think that that's true. We don't want to just run roughshod over the earth and destroy it. So I'm here for a conversation about that. We need to have everybody have access to the success. And when you have large swaths of our country that feel like they don't have access, feel like they're disenfranchised, that they can't participate in this, well, that's not good at all. It's one of my big concerns about bringing in tons of people from other countries. It's not that I don't want people from other countries. It's just that without the right tools, you can't participate in capitalism. And my fear is that we'll just create this permanent underclass, like serfs. That's not good. It's not good for anyone. Next is access to quality education. Thriving country invests in education at all levels, ensuring citizens are well-equipped with skills and knowledge. So that should be table stakes. But again, we've got, if you don't believe me, just research. Research Chicago students reading at grade level. Chicago students math level or performing or understanding math at a grade level. And then you'll find out. We need a robust healthcare system, access to healthcare, disease prevention, healthy living conditions, physically, mentally. And right now there's too much strain on the healthcare system, for sure. We need a mobility and opportunity. Been talking about this already. We need to have access to education. We need fair employment practices and equal rights. Like, agreed. We need peace, security. We need internal security. We need low crime rates, absence of conflict, protection from terrorism. We don't have that at all. We do not have that at all. Crime is rampant. And I know this has been very contentious because there's been so much talk about how crime is down, but then it comes out that that those numbers were held back or underreported. And so there's just a lot of game playing going on here. And no, I don't want that. I don't want people to play games. Our government is playing games and playing politics, and it's not appropriate. We need safe streets. We need to protect those people within our country that are the most at risk. Children, the elderly, people who are mentally ill, people who are addicted to drugs, and not just let them die on the streets, which is what's happening. Not only that, but it hurts neighborhoods. Certainly, there's lots of places in big cities in the United States where I wouldn't walk with my kids. And that's probably the litmus test right there. Would you let your kid walk down that street? Would you walk down that street? Probably not. We need the rule of law and the protection of human rights. We need to respect our civil liberties and human rights. We need freedom of speech, assembly, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. These are critical. These are critical.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we've seen that those are being restricted all over the place. We need judicial independence. We need an impartial and independent judiciary that helps to resolve disputes fairly and prevents abuses of power. Just everything is polarized. Everything is polarized. There's a reason we have separation of powers. There's a reason that our founders created our system of government. There's a reason that it's effective. But when things get screwed up, things get perverted, we politicize the judiciary. We talk about packing the court and getting what we want. These things are supposed to be independent and autonomous. And I know that these are human systems populated by human beings, and we all carry junk into it. But just let's remember why it is that we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be autonomous. We're supposed to be independent. Because you don't want to need to have a dispute settled and go to some kangaroo court or some BS trial. That's not good. We need infrastructure and technological advancement. Roads, public transportation, clean water, electricity, internet. There are plenty of places where we're struggling with our power grid. I don't know that much about it, but I do know that we are really behind in much of our infrastructure. We failed to invest in it. I've already talked about how there's places without clean water. These are massive failures. Massive failures. We need social cohesion. We need to enjoy or have a shared identity and purpose. We need social unity, tolerance of diversity, and a shared sense of purpose among citizens to contribute to national strength and resilience. I did a podcast about the what diversity really is, true diversity, because it said that diversity is our strength, but it's not. That's not an accurate statement. That is something that you put on a fucking greeting card. If you want to hear my opinion on that for about 20, 25 minutes, you can go listen to the full podcast. But different for the sake of being different is not what we're looking for. We need people who have a shared identity and a shared purpose of living and life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You can do it differently. You can have different views and religion. That's awesome. But we must all identify as Americans. And we must all agree on fundamentally the things I've been talking about. And if we're on the same page with that stuff, then there's room for diversity and for differences of opinion and everything. But without that shared identity and purpose, then it's not anything. It's just autonomous and independent people sort of operating in the same area. It's not Americans. Just a bunch of people. So that's essential. We need to engage in international relations and trade, global cooperation. There's no doubt about it. Now, I do think that we need to reassess what our role is in the world and reassess how it is we're allocating our resources and what we're prioritizing, why it is that we find ourselves in so many different countries all over the world. And I know there's a lot going on there. But I think more transparency and more robust conversation about true motives or why it is that we're doing what it is that we're doing, because it doesn't seem really clear to me. I don't feel like I'm getting an honest answer on why it is that we are spending so much money in the place that we're spending so much money that is outside of the United States of America. We need to have a robust and fun and dynamic culture. That's what it's all about. Freedom of expression. People that want everything to be the same is so stupid to me. You wouldn't have music. You wouldn't have art. You wouldn't have delicious food if everything was the same. Why would you want everything to be the same? This is where diversity really is our strength. It's got so many different kinds of music being created by so many different kinds of talented people and art and literature and movies and film and dance, everything. It's amazing. That makes life so much better. Want that. So what happens when that stuff isn't here? What happens when those elements begin to deteriorate or disappear? What happens? We experience political instability. We have a weaker, corrupt government. It's losing legitimacy. What's that going to lead to? Protests, civil unrest, or even coups and revolutions. What about the breakdown of the rule of law? When laws are not enforced equally or fairly, crime can increase. Powerful individuals or groups may exploit the system. This may lead to a sense of lawlessness and insecurity. If you don't think that that's happening, I don't know what you're paying attention to. Economic decline, recession, unemployment. Collapsing economy can lead to high unemployment, poverty, and inflation. Businesses fail. Foreign investment may decline. While we are experiencing incredible innovation at the top, I think that we are gutting our middle class right now. Social inequality. When we have widening income gaps, lack of opportunity, that's going to fuel resentment. It's going to lead to tension and political instability. Extreme inequality often makes the rich rich while the poor struggle to survive. That's what I'm talking about. We are separating different groups. So that's a big problem. Poor education, brain drain. I think our education system is so incredibly flawed. I don't think that it works. There's evidence of it everywhere. We're going to have a hard time producing skilled workers, innovators, and leaders. All this talk about whatever the youngest generation is that's in the workplace, about how they just don't want to work, how most of them just want to be influencers. This is just evidence that we have lost the signal on our education system. I mean, how in just one or two generations we have such different perspective coming out of people is shocking to me. And I can only point to that is direct evidence of a failure to educate our young people. It's going to lead to a healthcare crisis. Weak healthcare leads to higher mortality rates, shorter life expenses. Here we are. We have terrible public health. We are struggling physically with health. We're all overweight. We're all on pills. We're stressed. We're just jabbing and swallowing as much medicine as we possibly can. We've got horrible food. Yikes. Civil unrest and crime. Increased crime rate. Again, if you think that crime rates are down, I really encourage you to dig a little bit deeper. Dig a little bit deeper in and to determine whether or not crime is really down or it's up. So everything that we're talking about, I think that I'm repeating a lot of this stuff, but you're going to experience breakdown in social cohesion, social fragmentation. We're right there. We've been talking about this loss of national identity. We're right there. You have people talking about leaving the country. So much stuff, so much bad things. And then a population decline and demographic crises. Well, we're absolutely experiencing falling birth rates. So it's all bad stuff. And then an erosion of civil liberties and human rights. Authoritarianism. When a government becomes authoritarian, civil liberties and democratic freedoms are often curtailed. Like freedom of speech. Like freedom of assembly. Like freedom of the press. Do you see that happening anywhere? Do you see anywhere where freedom of speech is being curtailed? Where you can't get together? Where you can't speak your mind? I see that. Human rights violations. There's stuff happening all over the world. So I mentioned the social contract a little bit earlier, but fundamentally, it refers to an implicit agreement between individuals and the government or society where people consent to surrender some of their freedoms in exchange for protection, order, and the benefits of living in a structured community. It describes how people collectively agree to follow laws and norms in order to maintain a functioning society and the authority of a government. So we have to have that mutual agreement that we're going to give up. So I'm going to give up some of our rights in exchange for the protection of our fundamental rights, security, property, justice, clean water, education. So I'm saying, okay, I really like to go 100 miles an hour right now, but I'll keep it at 60. Just so not everybody's driving 100 miles an hour. So I'm giving up some of my freedom in exchange for the protection and safety. Okay. So that's a really, really, really important thing. Thomas Hobbes, very famous philosopher, in his book, The Leviathan, argued that in a state of nature, life would be nasty, brutish, and short. So state of nature exists in most other countries on the face of the earth. Most of them. We are so unique that our experiment in self-governance is so unique. And it's all based on the social contract. Based on me doing my part. Holding up my end of the bargain. It's like when you're carrying a really heavy table. and you got a bunch of people doing it, you all need to be lifting. If you don't, it's going to fall down. John Locke had a more optimistic view of human nature. He believed that people are born with natural rights like life, liberty, and property, and that governments are formed to protect those rights. If the government fails to do so, people have the right to overthrow it. His ideas really influenced our modern democracy. Rousseau emphasized that in a social contract, people come together to form a collective general will, which represents the common good. So some key principles are the legitimacy of a government comes from the consent of the people that it governs. If the government fails to uphold the end of the contract, people have a right to change or overthrow it. So the government, I don't work for the government. The government works for me. The government is not above me. It serves me. Reciprocity. Both the government and the citizens have responsibilities. Citizens must obey the laws and contribute to the common good. Okay, I'm doing my part. Now you do your part. Right now, we're not experiencing a reciprocal relationship with the government. I pay my taxes. I'm not seeing the benefits. So, the idea that social contract is foundational to democratic governments with the authority of leaders is based on the will of the people. Elections, constitutions, and the protection of civil liberties all reflect that. So, we need to balance the individual rights, collective responsibilities, all of these things. So, So much stuff the day after the election. But fundamentally, we have to hold ourselves accountable and responsible. We have to... I want everyone to spend more time thinking about what are your top priorities? What do you believe to be most important in the context or alongside what I just went through? Because if your top priority is whatever, some social issue, let's say it's abortion. Well, without the rest of it, it doesn't matter. If we don't have a functioning government, a functioning country based on the social contract, it's not going to be any abortions. It's going to be a disaster. But that's up to you. That is up to you. You make the decision. I don't know that we've thought it all the way through. And the more we can spend time thinking about it and thinking it all the way through, I think that the better off that we'll be. So we have to hold ourselves to a standard. We have to be capable and more engaging in independent critical thinking. And then we have to demand that our elected officials begin working with our interests in mind. Instead of spending all our time trying to get elected or get reelected or doing whatever they're doing, they have to demand that they start working with our interests in mind and the interests of the country in mind. So I hope that your guy or your gal won. Hope your team won. Number one is I hope that somebody won. I hope that this doesn't drag on because that's not a good thing. We don't do well with uncertainty. And I hope that you are safe and your family is safe and that you get what you want and you get the life that you want. But we do have a responsibility in all of this. We have to be responsible to ourselves and our loved ones, but then we also have to hold our elected officials who are our representatives in the government to account. So, happy day after the election. As always, do your part by doing your best.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.